Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Thursday. It is the 20th of February. Very nice to have you all with us. We have a great group of people assembled today. We have a lot to talk about, mostly about last night's debate that took place in Las Vegas, Nevada. We will talk about that and other events coming up. Let me introduce everybody to you. A reminder, you can join in on the fun. panel@wamc.org is the address. If you're not using that address, you're using the wrong address. And if you then get mad that we haven't read your letter, it's because it's not going to the right place. Okay? Just note. So panel@wamc.org. Well, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I go into another mailbox and I realize there's a lot of letters there. But we didn't see them because they didn't come to the right place.
Okay, one more time just for the hell of it.
panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. Keep your letters short, to the point, proofread them, and enough of the rules. Okay.
And not the R word.
What's the R word?
Roundtable.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't do that. panel@wamc.org. Okay, so let me introduce everybody to you. Investigative journalist and adjunct professor at UAlbany, Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Vera Acarius-Kelly joins us. She is a Siena College professor of comparative politics. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe and everyone.
Nice to have you here. Tetherless World professor of computer, web, and cognitive sciences at RPI and director of the RPI-IBM Artificial Intelligence Research Collaboration, Jim Handler.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I love that tetherless thing. It's like you're walking in space.
Untethered.
You know, I need a new title. I think about that every time I come in here and, you know, Jim is next to me. I'm thinking, my title is so boring. I'm going to ask Sienna for a new title.
You know, I looked at changing it, but Alan loves making that tetherball joke every week. So I didn't want to.
By the way, just in case you guys think I'm kidding, tetherball is one of the great games of all time. It's a volleyball on a long line attached to a pole. And then you stand there and you try to, you know, get the
bash it into the other person's head. That's great.
That's why.
Well, if you were right about Gunsmoke, I think I have to try it.
Have you ever been hit yourself? You punch that ball and it comes right back and hits you in the head?
I probably have, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time, Rosemary, since Fire Island.
But the traumatic brain injury killed the. So Vera Acarius-Kelly, tetherless professor of comparative politics.
I think she's tethered.
Wow.
Yeah. You're tethered?
I think I'm tethered.
Just for the hell of it, was that a name? I mean, what?
It's a long story, but the fast answer is no, it's not a name. It described a research area.
I see.
Okay.
Oh,
all
wow.
right. Well, it leads the
break.
And it's not just tetherless, it's tetherless world.
I know.
The world is the important part.
I thought it was Mr. and Mrs. Tetherless. But
welcome to Tetherless World.
And Dr. Jackson, if you're listening, just ignore that last few minutes.
Well, I doubt that's happening.
I think she listens.
And Vice President for Editorial Development of the New York Press Association, Judy Patrick, is here. Good morning, Judy.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Joe. I am great. It's nice to be here.
You haven't been on since I've been back, and I love seeing you here, and thank you very much.
It's great to see you again. You look healthy. For everyone in the audience who wants to worry, he is tall and straight and has great color. He's his old self.
I'm trying. Judy.
All the things I am not. Tall.
And great color. Well, you'll always be straight.
We're in good mood this morning.
Judy was my mail carrier when I was out. She lives close. She would drop off my mail, which was lovely. Yeah, very, very nice.
I was a UPS driver. Or
thank
the
you
FedEx guy.
Very much. Yeah, except you actually put it on the porch. So thank you. Before the UPS drivers yell at me, I'm just kidding.
Me too.
Right.
Me too.
Good morning and welcome. I don't know about you. I was up last night watching the debate. Mm-hmm. It was on at 9 o'clock Eastern time, which is very inconvenient for those of us on the East Coast. However, you know, for those on the West Coast, very convenient in Las Vegas, especially because four out of the six candidates could still hit the early bird buffet at the Tropicana. So that's good. Good for them. But it started. It was fun. It was at the Paris Hotel and Casino, and all eyes, of course, were on Michael Bloomberg, And we were talking on the show, it's just going to seem like it's five against one. And man, that first 90 seconds just set the tone. Ray and I were talking about this during the break. Just that first 90 seconds, he just got bludgeoned and then never really recovered after that. It was quite a night. I'm interested in what everyone thinks of what happened last night and what this changes. Alan, we'll start with you.
Well, I haven't got much to say except that, you know, since I get up at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, I obviously didn't watch it. But I did watch what CNN did. What they did is they took the key points that each of them made, and Bloomberg didn't look so bad.
Oh, he looked bad.
Wait. I'm not quite done yet.
Okay.
So he did. So he didn't look that bad. But then I heard the NPR story. And if anybody thinks that a news carrier doesn't determine what people are hearing, think again. Because I thought the CNN thing was, you know, they took the best and the brightest.
Well, they probably were doing him a great favor. I believe Maggie Haberman of the New York Times said, okay, wait for it. This is the first words we're going to hear from the candidate Bloomberg on the debate stage. And then she waited, and then she came back and she said, and his first word was a 4-second And that kind of said it. Rosemary, what'd you think?
I think he wasted $500 million. He undid all of that. He did not have a good answer to questions that were obvious. Redlining, you knew he was going to be asked about that. Elizabeth Warren was devastating. He also didn't have a good attitude. He did look like an arrogant billionaire up there. Mm-hmm. But he did score some points against Bernie Sanders. He did sound like a communist a lot. I'm sorry to all of the supporters out there. And I know he's not a communist, but he sure did when he was saying, should there be billionaires and take away their money? It's obscene to make the money, all that. He sounded like a communist. That is not going to play. And so I have this hopeless feeling after it's all over. I thought the women were good, but they don't have a chance. Buttigieg looked inexperienced. So I said, Bernie's going to win the nomination. I think he's getting to be unstoppable. And that means a hard time for Democrats at the very best in November.
Let me give you just a little bit of a back and forth. The question is, do the Bloomberg ads outweigh what people, a modicum of people, may have seen on the television?
That's a
the
great,
television?
Great point.
Yeah.
It's
a good point.
We'll know on Super Tuesday.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
We'll know on Super Tuesday. I think you're right. You know, the ads, I think, make a difference because not, you know, we are so interested in watching the debates. I mean, many of us watch them from beginning to end. My sense was that Bloomberg did a terrible job. I agree with Rosemary. Mm-hmm. He did not adequately respond to questions on, he did not speak adequately to African-American communities and Latinos. He didn't really address the whole issue of sexism within his corporate environment and his personal attitude of misogyny. I was appalled by some of the things I heard. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that both Elizabeth Warren in particular, but also Amy Klobuchar,
right,
were articulate, quite aggressive, successfully aggressive.
Warren was great, but you do wonder, like, where the hell has she been for a year?
Astounding.
That performance was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing, right? And I thought, here she is. She is the kind of candidate that I really can get behind yesterday, you know?
I could stand up and be in Trump's face.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. Like absolutely. And I don't know how the rest of the panel feels, but, and to your point, Alan, the Bloomberg that we saw last night, that everybody thought, oh, he can get into Trump's face and he could take on Trump. Did anybody feel that was the case after watching a very tepid performance last night?
You know, the debates have almost become an audition for who can debate Trump most successfully. But Trump has even said that he may not even debate. Yeah. I imagine he'd debate Bloomberg, but maybe he won't debate Warren. I feel like the big winner last night was Donald Trump.
I absolutely think Trump won last night.
Which raises an interesting question. Why was Bloomberg, who was supposed to have made all this money and everything else, why was he just so anxious to get onto that debate?
I thought from the very beginning,
it was a huge mistake. Yep.
It's a mistake, especially for, I mean, if you take this, obviously it's for the great, it's for the greater good in the picture, but the debate was for voters of Nevada. He is not on the ballot in Nevada. And I guess he had to do it sometime. I was struck by something Rosemary said earlier in the week. Somebody made the comment about, you know, you can only assume that he's been practicing for a really long time. And Rosemary said, well, no, we don't know that, because as much as we think he could be, you can still really screw it up. And he did.
Did you notice how really hostile and vocal the local audience was?
Yes.
I think that
they
had to have
they
thrown
They booed him.
Yeah.
I've never heard in a debate one candidate being soundly booed
by
about 90% of the people in that room.
So his first appearance
and then the Biden protest in the middle of that.
Yeah.
What was that over?
That was an immigration protest.
It was Dreamers, right?
I don't know if it was Dreamers or whatever, but it was about the deportation that had happened under the Obama administration.
I didn't know that. But Bloomberg had to have expected these questions about the NDAs and about stop and frisk, but he did not have good canned answers.
His surrogates all day long on cable were saying, well, stay tuned tonight to hear Mike, but what I think is, and they were giving much better answers than he ultimately gave out.
Andrew Yang was a commentator on CNN last night, and he actually, you know, said about sitting out and things like that, but he said, but you know, the other thing is, if they wanted to try him in the real world, this was the one to do, because he could lose this debate without losing the election.
Ah, that's interesting.
So, again, I just want to make it clear to everybody, I actually still don't know who I'm supporting in this whole thing. I'm still looking at the numbers, and I don't like the numbers for anyone at the moment. I think Trump was the big winner. Although I do want to say, because many of you know, Libby and I are members of a synagogue locally and very involved in the Jewish community. This was the most Jewish moment I've ever seen. We had two old Jewish guys talking about their heart procedures.
And trying to one-up each other.
I owe that to a young,
that's hilarious.
A young friend on Facebook.
It's true. But also, I was thinking, Andrew Yang said something else interesting. Apparently, Bloomberg went to New Hampshire to do a little testing on how he would do after he mingled with groups.
Yeah.
And apparently, Yang said Bloomberg learned that he doesn't have any social skills, and people didn't like him in New Hampshire, and he temporarily withdrew from the idea of even running, and that was, you know, months ago, temporarily withdrew from the idea of even running for the presidency because he thought he couldn't even reach audiences.
Former
Vera, they just didn't like some of the jokes he told.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
More than 70% of the population in this country.
Former Senator Claire McCaskill said about the debate performance by Michael Bloomberg last night that this is not a man who's used to raising his hand to be called on.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a great comment. I mean, it's not. And there's no one who is going to get into his face in his campaign and say, you have to be ready for this question. And, okay, so maybe you're a misogynist and you have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And the unpreparedness. Mm-hmm. And you can have a gazillion dollars, but you can't buy your way out of something like that.
And also, did you notice that I know it's been a longstanding practice of Bloomberg's in public is when he doesn't like something.
Oh, rolls his eyes.
They almost back in the back of his skull, which personally I have done myself, just not on a big stage and on TV. So, you know, this is kind of a problem. You have to get this under control.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, when you're in the public.
When you're in the public, this is not a good thing to do.
Works better on radio.
And some of his efforts to be flippant, like he can't get his taxes done by TurboTax, I think that's will not resonate with the average person who does use TurboTax.
No, and he did, I mean, he sounded like a billionaire, and it was tough to have humility in some sense. The other thing I would just like to bring up was that we talk about what he fumbled, but the other thing that to me is he was given so many opportunities to pivot to talk about what he's good at.
Yep.
Like, I make a ton of money, however, I give away a ton of money, which he said,
he did
but
that.
Then pivot and say, I gave it this much money on guns after one of the deadliest attacks ever happened in this very city, a block away from where we are. And he never took those opportunities.
Well, he's not running in Nevada, don't forget.
So no, I understand, but it still hits. It allows him to say, this is what I did with my money. Mm-hmm. I've worked on climate change. I've worked on the gun issue. And to simply say, I'm giving all my money away is different than saying, but this is what I did with it.
Exactly.
Definitely not a natural born Clintonian politician, retail politician, that's for sure. And that should be a strong point, and he didn't play with it. But I'm struck by what you said, Jim, that I guess it was Andrew Yang who pointed out if he had to have a practice run, this was the place.
Yeah, I mean, if you're his staffers today, I suspect he's listening to you better than he was yesterday, maybe.
Uh-huh,
I mean, I hope.
Uh-huh.
But that said, you know, the interesting thing, right, is
so, either that or he's firing them.
Or he's firing them.
Oh, you know
them.
What?
Well,
that's
the Trumpian move. But,
yeah, I think Bloomberg is too smart to fire his staffers.
I actually think, I do know people who've worked with him, worked high up in his organization. They actually say he listens. I mean, you know, so for what it's worth. I mean, again, you know, there's a lot of problems with anyone in that position.
But can you change somebody who can't do it into somebody who can do it?
And also, you know, all the other debaters, in essence, are very experienced now. I mean, they have heard every attack. They're prepared for every critique. They have a comeback. They've practiced it. He has not. He is just simply new to the game, and he can just hope that the ad campaign is overtaking all of his problems and basically cover up for
his
failings.
Okay? I have to hold you there. We'll be back. We'll continue right after this short break. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We've had a vigorous discussion during the break, so we're just going to replicate it now. It was rehearsal, actually.
Hey, Joe, just like on the debate where they had to hold up their hand if they wanted
yes.
to.
Yes, you've held up your hand up, yes, during the break.
And we do not call on Alan.
Yeah, well, he put his hand up, and I told him that it was the second door on the right. And he said, no, I got a question. Yeah.
Well, we do know that one of the reasons they were attacking Bloomberg so vigorously is because he was coming up fast, or the surge was on.
Yes.
I think the big story today, tomorrow, and from now on is going to be whether the surge continues. In other words, is the surge, is the way he was going upward in the polls going to stop right now, or is it going to get more aggressive?
Well, and also, what do the candidates do with it? What do the other candidates do with it with their advertising? What does Trump do with it? And what impact does that have? And are the ads and the billions of dollars or millions of dollars that he's spending in ads overtake that?
But, well, you know, Kellyanne Conway.
What's very interesting is I'm sorry.
No, what did Kellyanne say?
I was just going to say Kellyanne Conway tweeted last night. That they should have an extra hour because they were so pleased with how badly it was going for the Democrats, how they were destroying each other.
Yeah, I thought they should have called it after an hour because there was just too much blood on the floor. Jim?
Sorry, now I got to remember what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
In the meantime, I want to knock the commentators, who I think did a horrible job. It was out of control several times. The questions were...
The moderators.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the questions, where were questions on climate and gun control and another debate on health? I do not want to hear about Medicaid for All one more time in these debates. We've heard it.
I thought it was funny because this morning on Morning Joe, they were taking they say, oh, they didn't talk about this, they didn't talk about that. And I'm like, well, your own network was the one who put it on, and you didn't do that. The woman, I thought, first of all, I think Lester Holt did a great job. I've firmly established my dislike of Chuck Todd. Because when everybody was answering, he's just butting in, and it's very difficult. And also, figure out you're in your 40s. Yep. Figure out what you're going to do with your hair. Find a part. Do something. I don't know. But also,
we're attacking looks. Let's talk about Buttigieg's little mustache.
Yeah, it
shadow,
was like a little
whatever.
Shadow.
Like, oh, it was,
yeah, it was.
Really?
Yeah.
He wanted to look like a grown up.
That's how it came off. Yeah.
He wanted to look like he could drive at night. and then there was the anchor from Telemundo, who's a really great anchor.
Yeah.
But she asked that question about the president of Mexico, which, to your point, you know, wasn't it was.
It was a shaming
event.
It was
good. It was a good question, but not to take up that valuable time.
Well, but also, she followed up on it like three or four times.
Four times. So you didn't answer my question.
I'm here to attack you on this issue.
And the poor guy from the Nevada paper, who probably knows Nevada politics better than any human in the world, was relegated to one question on climate, and then they never even went to him again.
And points to Elizabeth Warren, who came to Amy Klobuchar's defense, saying, "Look, that could have happened to any of us up here.
Yes.
It's not an indication of anything other than we're doing a lot of events."
She said, "I think that's that's unfair."
Yeah.
I will say though that I did wince when Klobuchar tried to resurrect it and pronounce it, and then still butchered it.
I know she does not speak Spanish.
No,
really.
No. And then when Buttigieg started to speak Spanish, I winced at that. So
I was impressed because all of the tweets that the Bloomberg campaign was doing during the debate were going out in both English and Spanish. So you know, the interesting thing is while he was having that disastrous debate,
see, that's where Tyler was, Professor Gutsch. They noticed those things.
So I thought the most interesting thing was if you were watching the post debate coverage on CNN, after all, you guys went to bed, but I go to bed.
Oh, no, we're watching it.
But there was a Bloomberg ad that came on, and it was more effective in a sense of a one-minute presentation of Bloomberg than all of the other candidates who were being interviewed about their performance.
But we made this.
And that's the key point, is that Bloomberg's going to have to learn to do that in person without the editors.
Exactly. Yeah. We made that point yesterday on the show of the problem is that when you're on the debate stage, you don't have editing. You know, I mean, you have to figure it out. Alan, we have about a ream of letters.
Let me get through a couple of them without, you know.
We'll just go through it. We'll power through.
Well, no, you can interrupt if you really must. As Sonia says, the most important moment of the debate was when, with the exception of Bernie Sanders, everyone on stage last night advocated for overturning the will of the people at the convention with the use of superdelegates. This is not democracy. And if they use that power, it will be the final nail in the coffin of the Democratic Party and guarantee us all 4 more years of the orange menace. Voters already disenfranchised with the process will not turn out for the general opinions panel.
Well, I'm interested in your opinion. I was going to ask you this anyway as a political scientist. I mean, we always talk about a broker convention.
There could be a broker convention.
So what happens? I mean, in this case,
if nobody has the requisite number, what will end up happening is that there'll be fierce back and forth. And this is what the Bloomberg people, frankly, are counting on. They've said it so that when it starts to be, is the soul of the Democratic Party more with Bloomberg, sorry folks, than it is with Bernie?
But Bernie makes, when Bernie said last night that what should happen on the second ballot is that the will of the voters and the American people should take over.
Well, of course he said that.
Well, but don't all of us think that that should be the? I mean, if we're going to argue about Hillary, winning the election.
I have always lectured you all on the difference between should and
no,
is.
No, I know, but if we're going to say that, Hillary really won the election last time because she had more votes and all the other stuff. If you're going to do that, then you have to be consistent.
Well, but the key becomes, okay, let's say Bernie goes in with 37% of the delegates. Okay, everybody else has 10 or 15. Right. Then what you're looking at is a very complicated situation, because if he if at that point, even though 60% are against him, you would still have the claim that the superdelegates didn't go with the people. On the other hand, if you look at what that predicts for the general and who's going to come out and where they're going to be, you'd be saying a different candidate might have a chance. I think, you know, the interesting thing is I've been looking at a lot of numbers. You guys know I'm a numbers geek. I've been playing with them. I would give you the following prediction at the moment. If Bernie is the candidate, he will get more votes than anyone else who's currently running, and he will lose the election.
Wow.
Okay? And if they can find a credible middle person, which is what everybody was hoping Bloomberg would be, then that person will get less votes than Bernie would and have a much better chance of winning.
And
now, that's assuming nothing major happens between now and
one other thing, election. You make a very good point. You have to add up all those other 10%.
Right.
So then, you know, it's not a majority anymore.
Point is, if he goes in with a plurality, then what do we say about going with the will of the majority? On the other hand, if he goes in with 55%, then, you know, it's a completely different story, and a lot will depend on what happens in these big states. The current prediction is he's going to keep doing 25 to 30% everywhere.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got through one letter, so let's
just... That's right, we weren't going to discuss. I apologize.
No, that's not your fault.
No, that's all right. Doug says, after having watched every Democratic debate, I have to ask, what is Amy Klobuchar's vision? I've never heard her say anything beyond attacking other candidates. Her debates prior to the last two, all she were practice zinger jokes, which sounded forced and so weren't even funny. She's been better the last two debates by mostly dropping the practical jokes, but she still spends nearly all her time attacking others without saying what she herself would do.
Go ahead.
Moving right on.
Yes, sir.
We also heard from Rick in Athol. That's Athol, New York, I believe. Panel, Alan was right again. We saw the Democratic circular firing squad in action last night, attacking each other and giving Trump ammunition to use against the nominee. Rick in Athol. And if you're calling from one of the Athols, would you be kind enough to put Athol, Mass. Or Athol, New York, so we'll know which one you are. And John...
That was a good point.
And John... What? Did I say something?
No, I was just mumbling under my breath. Go ahead.
Where's that big red button?
Yeah.
And John said debate.
Should we have the right Athol? Go ahead.
And John said debate. I don't think anyone predicted the total collapse of Bloomberg in last night's debate. I sure didn't.
Yeah.
But Warren eviscerated him. Mm. Haven't seen such destruction since Benson versus Quayle. Quite enjoyed it. Can we please?
Lloyd Benson and Dan Quayle.
Yeah. The debate. Yeah. Yeah.
Quite enjoyed it. Can we please have Warren debate Trump? John from Valley Falls.
Well, she has to become the candidate first.
Yeah. Bloomberg has been quite effective against Trump on Twitter, I have to say. I've been enjoying that.
Yeah, he's a great troller, isn't he? I mean, I just laugh a lot. I want
him
to
somebody
have a new...
he employs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right.
What am I missing here?
No, we were talking about that Bloomberg is good against Trump on Twitter, but then the question being, is that really Bloomberg or is it someone in the staff who's crafting that response? But again, it's still not the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we heard from Neil, who says, Democratic debate. We didn't get the debate we should have had. Last night's panel of mostly NBC reporters encouraged a demolition derby by pitting candidates against one another.
Correct.
Rather than asking about policy. Why did they ignore Trump's meddling in the justice system? The upcoming deal with the Taliban, our near war with Iran, relations with Russia, the damage caused
China.
By Trump's... trade war.
Yeah.
The NBC team seem more focused on ratings than on substance. Do you think?
Yes. Agreed. Because, you know, in essence, what these moderators did was chumming the water.
For those of you who have not been on Fire Island and chum, you know what you do is you put some bait into the water and hope that the fish will come.
Right.
Similarly to what Alan just did.
Which is only designed to get to you, Rosemary.
Jim, what were you saying? Okay, no, you're good. Okay,
Neil says, Democrats, like Rosemary, I am in despair. Democrats seem unable to unite in the face of the common enemy after last night's indulgence in bridge burning. It is clear that Bloomberg would lose much of the left and Sanders would lose many moderates in the general election. We are on a dark road to hell, and the devil in the White House is waiting and laughing.
So I want to say something a little uplifting. Think of it this way. The Democratic Party is much more diverse, has a lot more, disagreeing parts to it. We have lots of different diverse constituencies, and it takes longer to come together. What we have in the Republican Party is one tone, one position.
Well, you remember
it's
the
already
Republican,
unified.
But you remember the Republican primary when Trump was so, angry at all the others, and they were angry at him. They came together.
They came together, so I feel like it's going to, I believe it's going to happen with the Democrats as well.
The real question is, how much anger is there right now towards Trump on the part of the Democrats that will motivate them? Look, many more Democrats in this country than, ask the Tetlis professor, there are many more, there are many more Democrats in this country than there are Republicans. And so therefore, but the problem is they don't vote.
Well,
now,
or where they live. Because, again, I can give you very plausible demographics which will give Bernie 7 million more votes than Trump and still lose. And it really comes down to a small number. Again, assuming no major states really change in a big way, which we don't see happening at the moment.
Well, actually, we do see it happening in the moment. The polls are showing that Trump is underwater in all of those states, as I see it, that were instrumental in electing him.
It's well.
What? Did I say something wrong?
No, no. So the swing states are still the swing states. But
yes, they
right
are,
now, the
but...
hard reds are pretty much still the hard reds.
Oh, yeah.
The hard blues are still the hard blues. So once you take those out of the picture, so unless one of those really committed states changes. So, for example, if Texas were to flip, that would be a stunning difference, and that would almost not matter who the candidate is. But that's a pretty low probability event with any candidate.
Well, how about all those blues that voted for the United States House of Representatives that came around? Is that level of anger, which it clearly was, is that level of anger going to come around and bite Trump in the...
I hope so, but it's the question of suburban Michigan, suburban Wisconsin, suburban Pennsylvania. Those are your three biggest demographics in this entire race.
Yeah, and there's a lot of variables, too. The economy, there's a lot that can happen, and a lot will happen between now and November.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go into power mode during the letters, and we'll bring us right up to the top of the hour. We welcome yours, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Let's go to letters.
Okay, very quickly then. Joel, who writes us quite frequently, short and to the point. Good morning from Joel in Blooming Grove. The Dems are bums. Mitt Romney for president. Russ says, Bloomberg's performance. Dear panel, Bloomberg was a disaster last night. He came off as a pompous rich guy with the same kind of air of political entitlement that sunk Hillary Clinton. God help us if he's a nominee. Russ from Brookfield. Justin says, debate. Bloomberg really sounds like the guy we need as president. Said no one ever. Let's keep tearing down Bernie, who has done the right thing even when it was inconvenient for him. A straight white man because he has a high moral compass. Bernie slumped for Hillary more than Hillary slumped for Obama. Warren slayed last night. And then we heard from Stephen. Whoever emerges as Democratic nominee does have Trump to debate him or her? Question mark. Whoever emerges as Democratic nominee.
Basically, we don't know if Trump is going to debate.
We don't know. Trump will debate because he did well. The last time he threatened Hillary, he walked around her, and he thinks these guys, they try to replicate their successes. And he's so arrogant that he will try to replicate that success.
I think he would have trouble not being on the front page.
Debate, Biden and Bloomberg. I believe that Biden had a great debate last night. He was on point, focused, and as always, stayed above the fray. I listen every day, and there's been too much love for Bloomberg. He was an absolute disaster. The joke he made at the end about not needing donations of ordinary Americans was booed, and rightly so. What an imbecile he is for thinking he could be president, and how stupid it is to support him. It's a lovely word, stupid.
The letter, yes.
You know how we like it. Yeah.
The letter writer makes a great point, though, because we haven't talked about Biden. And I thought Biden did well last night. He's shaky. But he hit all the right notes, and it reminded me of why he was the front runner for so long in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's what people were looking for.
Yeah, we haven't seen his feistiness like this in a long time.
And he did go after the other candidates.
There was some, but I actually felt So one thing, hasn't come through, we all think Warren did great. During our little breaks,
everybody
we've all
does.
Said that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure
that's sort of a universal.
Yep. But I think, and so she outshone Biden. Yep. But Biden seemed to me to be just held his place. In other words, I'm not sure I would have been convinced. If I was undecided, I'm not sure he did anything yesterday that would have changed my mind.
But it isn't.
I was leaning to Biden, or if I was trying to decide between Biden and someone else, I don't think it would have caused me.
But it is interesting to watch the sort of knowledge that is the underlayment of these debates, which is who they go after. Biden, they left Biden alone last night. Bernie, who is the leader, remained unscathed.
Yeah,
almost as if there was an agreement to do that. And Bloomberg, who was coming up in the polls, was eviscerated. So I'm sure that that's worthy of discussion. And then Christopher says, I believe Biden had a great debate last night. He was on point, focused, and always stayed above the fray. I listen every day. There's too much love for Bloomberg. He was an absolute disaster. The joke he made at the end when he did that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, whoops. No, I'll get it. Okay. Ellen said, Bloomberg. Bloomberg was as flat as yesterday's seltzer. The only time he ever even had color in his face was when Warren went off his non-disclosure agreements. She was fierce. Mm-hmm.
Is anyone else troubled by his refusal to give out more medical records? I've said all along, I think he's
this is Sanders.
Sick guy. Yeah,
Sanders. Yeah.
Well, I'm also concerned about Bloomberg not.
I mean, the NDAs
was
a good.
Yeah,
that was
a good attack. Yeah,
yep.
But the medical records. If he's saying I've put out enough information, I'm fine. His wife is saying, oh, he's more vigorous than ever. He's an athlete, you know. Why not then give out more records? Why the refusal?
I don't understand it. I also don't understand why, I said this before, I don't understand why it wasn't a bigger deal at the debate. I would have thought the candidates would have seized on it. Mayor Pete tried to, but it didn't really go very far.
And then one of his surrogates misspoke, she said, intimating that Bloomberg had had a heart attack, too. Mm-hmm. Health is an issue, and
these guys
should
are
it be?
77
yes,
years old.
Yes, yes.
Well,
he's a very old man. Who had a heart attack a month ago.
And Bloomberg made the point of, I had stents, but it was 25 years ago,
yeah,
which I thought was an interesting point, too. Alan.
He's given hundreds of millions of dollars to medical schools. He'll get the best. David says, Democrats watched the debates for 2 minutes and had to turn it off. It's true the Democrats eat their young, but they are giving sound bites for the Republicans' use in general. I'm voting for whomever is the Democratic nominee. I just hope the public has a short memory or doesn't care and will vote for the Democrat.
Well, that is one thing to count on. Americans have a short memory.
And they're not the only ones. Debate and presidency. Hello, panel. Biden, Klobuchar for president. Biden would make a great president. It is his time, and Klobuchar is a great speaker. It is not her time yet, but she would make a great vice president or future president. Thanks, panel. And that's James from Altamont.
A point that Klobuchar keeps making, and it hasn't really shined through in the debates, is how well she's done in red states. Her military history, those kind of things. Again, as vice president, I think it would really be somebody who would resonate well with not so much Trump's base, but the edges around Trump's base.
Yeah, so, but for the most part, vice presidents do not help the ticket. People are voting for who the president is.
Yep.
And in some cases, it's made the difference, certly in JFK and Lyndon Johnson, who hated each other's guts.
I did chuckle at Buttigieg's line to Amy Klobuchar that if success in Minnesota politics meant anything, we would have had President Mondale.
Okay. And that's great. Yeah, Jason, the Senate problem. So let's suppose that either Senator Sanders or Warren win the nomination. If hopefully either one beats the president in a general election, does that not mean that the GOP governors would appoint a GOP replacement to their seat in the Senate? Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. While I feel beating Trump is very important, I feel winning this Senate is perhaps even more important. Thoughts? Wrong. The most important thing right now is beating this guy.
Who's
just outrageous. And Eric, but you make a good point. Eric, Klobuchar's performance. I disagree with Rosemary's view that Buttigieg looked inexperienced. I think it was Klobuchar who looked out of her league by not responding to Buttigieg's jabs, but being upset by what she thought was name-calling. If she can't stand up to Mayor Pete, can she stand up to Trump? Thanks. Eric from Glens Falls. And Martin says, communist. Saying that people should not be billionaires is not communist. It's a ridiculous Republican talking point, which makes sense because Bloomberg is really a Republican billionaire.
Do you know how many red states are out there? Bloomberg was right. The way Bernie spoke last night, if that were ever out on airwaves, would kill him.
And he didn't call him a communist, but he said that's communism, not socialism.
Yes.
And which is interesting.
And Cynthia says, panel, dear esteemed panel, come on, give democracy a chance. Please support Joe Biden. He didn't do badly. He can be strong with our support. And like it or not, he is our only hope. That's a fascinating letter when you think about it.
That is.
Because Biden was seen as being on the ropes. I myself said stick a fork in him the other day. And now, all of a sudden, in terms of the moderates, because Bloomberg did so badly in the debate, Biden's beginning to look a little bit better.
I will also say, and we have to go to a break, but Biden also did really well. I don't know how many of you saw it, but the interview that he did with Brian Williams afterwards, he also did really well. Yeah, but he did well.
That was better than his debate. I still, the problem with him is Hunter Biden, and he's not addressed it.
And he didn't address it last night.
No, and he was slayed in impeachment, and that played a whole lot more than this debate did.
Did somebody raise the Hunter thing last night?
No, he brought it up though, that he's been under attack by the president. Yeah. But didn't respond.
The question was asked in the
he said
they
didn't
went
do
around
anything
it.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back. Ray Graff is ready to do the news. We'll let him do that, and then we'll continue with your letters and lots more right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We've been getting a lot of letters, so we're going to stay with those this morning. Alan Chartog is here, Judy Patrick, Jim Hendler, Vera Carias-Kelly, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. I was warning people about the make sure you write to panel at WAMC.org, and people still aren't doing it, but we want you to. So panel at WAMC.org. Make sure that's the address that you use. While we are talking, you should know that the Roger Stone sentencing is underway, and the proceeding is taking place as we speak. Whenever we find out what the outcome is, we will certainly report it to you and talk about it as well, assuming that it happens before 10:30 this morning.
And Judy made a great point. Wouldn't it be great if there were cameras in the courtroom?
Yes, we would know what the judge says, although we'll get the report, but it'll
even though we're not in Vegas anymore, we did take bets on how many years he will get.
Yes.
During the break.
Yes.
We did?
Yes. Well, we did on this side.
Yeah. Well, it's not what he would, it's what we are.
What
are,
we think.
Yeah, what we would do if we were the judge, how many years.
Weren't
we
you
would
debating
do
about how fast it would be before he was pardoned?
Yes. Yeah, no, I think it's
I'm betting on commute. I'm betting the sentence gets commuted as opposed to a full pardon, but we'll see.
All right. Well, there's a lot to go, and we'll bring it to you as soon as we have it. Alan, in the meantime, we'll go to the
We don't have
letters.
That many left unless they're coming in with another stack.
Okay.
Jeff says, Amy Kay, I've been following the primary process for a long time. I supported other candidates who have disappeared. I've seen Amy Kay speak many times, and to me, she is very convincing. She strikes me as an experienced, well-informed, and sincere politician who comes from the middle-class roots, who has the ability to get things done. And Jimmy, good morning, panel. It drives me crazy when you say Trump was the big winner last night. This talking point feeds his narrative of four more years. Once the dust settles, we still have a nominee. Let's all get behind the candidate and discuss the issues. Democracy is on the line. The explanation
point. You need to listen to a political rally then, not to a discussion of public affairs. There's no way we're going to sit here and say, Ray, whoever gets it, they'll be great.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
I hear you.
And I mean, there are a lot of people
who
have
been— Here comes another stack.
a lot of people have commented on what happened last night, and the overwhelming majority of the talking heads have said Trump was a big winner last night. I don't think we're saying anything that
Trump's
isn't the conventional
wisdom.
Trump's
own people have said it. Isn't that Kellyanne's
point?
Right. But remember, we're not talking about winning the election. Yeah, we're talking about winning the debate, in a sense. Yeah. So in other words, the fact that they didn't pivot anti-Trump and they had so many opportunities, I do think, you know, we were talking before about the moderators. They kept trying to keep it in that Nevada context, and I think they missed the fact that this was a national debate. And part of the mismatch was the candidates were trying to debate nationally, and the moderators were trying to pull them locally, and it was just
a
mess.
That's a good point.
All right, we got a lot more letters. We have many more letters?
Yeah,
there we go. Let's go.
Freda says, Bloomberg's performance, while I can't say I'm settled yet on who I would like to see win the primary, I do feel that hyper-focusing on stage performance is a mistake. After all, Trump is one of the great performers. Let's be careful not to attribute too much to stage performance. And that's Freda from Chatham. That's a very interesting letter because, you know, Bloomberg was a pretty effective mayor. You may not have liked everything he did, but he was. But he wasn't a good outfronter. So that's a good point that Fred is making.
But stagecraft is what wins the presidency.
Oh, yeah. I
have
no
doubt
about
it.
Yeah.
Trump, and probably from John Kennedy and from others, but especially most recently. What qualifies Trump for the presidency? Nothing. Except
and,
he's and a great performer.
And we've heard from Palmer from Conway. Is Elizabeth Warren really unelectable? I think she's amazing. Why doesn't the majority of the quality of the country agree with me? Thanks for your thoughts. Well, she's my senator. I like her a lot.
Didn't she kiss you?
She did. She kissed me right on the cheek. on my
face.
A
great night. Her, you know, people keep talking about her media coverage being bad. I think we're seeing it increase significantly this morning. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I think it's been perceived to date that it's been her versus Sanders and the others versus each other. I think if Warren can position herself into that middle space, then you have a much more interesting position for her place. But if she's running against Sanders, he's just got too much of a base already.
But Alan made such a great point earlier, which was, but nobody went after Sanders. I mean, he was the front runner, and nobody went had both happened, right? Where Warren had a brilliant performance, and a lot of people went after Sanders, and he stumbled, then we would probably have a clearer picture.
You know, Joe, I think it has to do probably more with the character of the Democratic base than anything else. And the Democratic base certainly responds quite quickly to anything that says billionaire in it. And they knew that. Maybe not nationally, but in terms of the Democratic primary. Anyway, Jay says, Trump was not the winner. You need to stop complaining about how the Democrats are hurting each other and helping Trump in these debates. You may say this after every debate. The Republicans were doing this to Trump in 2016, and he still won and more. Okay, Tom says, free for all. I feel the Democratic debates have lapsed into free for all finger pointing, from which the Democratic Party will suffer in the long run, has become curious course. So sorry. A vote for me, not because I am a standout, but because other candidates are terribly flawed, would be so refreshing to hear a candidate focus on their attributes and why they ought to be selected, and let the voters do the parsing of qualifications. Tom in Wapakoneta Falls. Mark says, superdelegates. After the 2016 election, the Democratic Party greatly reduced the number of superdelegates. They will not be able to decide a contested convention. If Sanders goes into the convention as the frontrunner with 35% of the delegates, that does not indicate he's the choice of the public. 65% of Democratic voters don't want him as the nominee. We should go to a system of rank choice voting. And Carrie says, Warren's Mitch McConnell statement. I was stunned when Elizabeth Warren accused Amy Klobuchar of trying to be friends with Mitch McConnell, when all Klobuchar was doing was trying to stress the importance of working with the other side. Compromise is still the only way to get things done in a democracy. And Warren's comment made me wonder if she'd ever attempt it. And Jerry in Pittsfield says, pardon me. Dear panel, kudos to the Democratic candidate recognizing the threat of an oligarch CEO. Not all CEOs are tyrants, but they are all autocrats. Let's hope Bernie trounces this real billionaire and then the fake billionaire in November, Jerry in Pittsfield. Rich says, panel, it seems like all the candidates have stumbled on in at least one debate. This was Bloomberg's first time out, and I think the real test will be the next one. His team has also kept up severe pressure campaign on Donald Trump. I think no matter who the eventual nominee is, this will work in their favor. Thank you for a great show in Albany. Excuse me. Thank you for a great show every day, Rich in Albany. Amy says, Bloomberg, good morning, dear friends. Give Bloomberg a break. This is his first time on stage. With this point, seasoned politicians, I think with a few warm-up exercises, he can nail down the nomination and beat Trump. Seems to me, with our prosperous economy, Americans would very much like a businessman as president. However, not just not one who leaves disaster in his wake. And that's Amy in Queensbury. And Michael says, Bloomberg lost, but I have Zinger on capitalism that worked. Biden held his ground and is still alive. Warren was strong, effective, and awesome. Klobuchar was strong despite baiting by a moderator who opted to preen and play gotcha with Klobuchar's repeated response regarding the names of the current president of Mexico. Buttigieg had his usual nice aspirations, but little substance showing how he achieved them. Bernie was strong. Pete says, good morning, panel. So if Bernie has a plurality, and that means 60% are against him, and other Democrats will stay home. But if Bernie is squeezed out, then the other Democratic candidates can rely on his supporters to toe the party line. Don't we always choose the lesser of two evils when there is no one we like? That said, more about cynicism in the media than it does about Bernie's electability. Pete from Poughkeepsie. Leslie says, VP choices may not help, but they sure can hurt. Maybe it's time for Obama to get them all in a room and tell them some people need to drop out. We have to defeat Trump. Some of these folks have to drop out. Leslie. Dennis, health records. Today, many people have, quote, heart attacks that are treated in a timely manner and remain otherwise healthy without impaired longevity. I don't think it's a big issue. Dennis.
It is a big issue if you are the president. It's not if you're my father had that for years and lived with a heart condition. He was not the president of the United States. And if it is not a big deal, then why can we not see the records?
For me, really, it's more about educating the public on these kinds of questions as well, because I don't think we want to release records just to sort of enhance biases and attacks. How about educating the American public of where we're at with our medical advances and treatments and using that moment to actually speak to the American people, where a lot of really serious medical issues affect people's lives. I think let's really think about why we are interested in medical records. We have multiple reasons to want to know a little bit more information.
We have a few more letters. Go ahead.
Okay. Caroline says, "Dear panel, I think for me, Warren did great last night. Loved her. I was kind of taken aback by the chauvinism that I felt displayed by Buttigieg towards Klobuchar. I thought that was very interesting. And yes, I feel all candidates should have to release a complete copy of the physical exam within the last year. Best of all."
So,
Joanne,
I just want to be clear on something. Sanders did release a set of his records. Right. And what now people are saying is we want to see the long form birth certificate, not just your birth certificate. Mm-hmm. So what they're asking him to release now is a lot of personal information that really doesn't may or may not have anything to do with the election. That said, I'd still, you know, if I was him, I think he'd better do it.
Is that exactly true? I have understood that what he released were notes from the doctor, which remind me of
Trump. Well, my understanding is that's what a lot of other people have released.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, you know, I'd like to see us not have a double standard in that
no,
space.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
That said,
with that
the
said,
standard should be release everything, everybody.
But do we also believe, I mean, there were people in the Bernie Sanders campaign yesterday comparing it to birtherism.
Ugh. What he released were letters from doctors saying saying that this is the situation with his heart. What happened between when he said he was going to release all his records last fall and now? Is something else come up that he's not going to tell us about? That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Well, all we know from President Trump is a dictated letter to his physicians. So
he
I think that's the new standard.
Wasn't
you
he
notice?
In the better shape than Superman?
The new standard is just lying. He's just a liar.
You know, but
he
I
also,
mean,
I mean,
love this idea of going to your physician and dictating what the physician is supposed to release. I mean, that's my favorite so far. Just kidding.
But also, I mean, with the Trump thing, we can say what we want, but Trump didn't have a heart attack in the last year.
That we
Do
know
we
of.
Know?
Well, that's true. That's a great
to,
point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Okay.
The hospital trips in the middle of the night.
Very
so,
good
so
point.
Trip, we don't know.
You know, indigestion likely.
Yeah. Joanne says,
don't know.
So much wasted money. Imagine the good that could happen if all the money that's spent on these politics could be directed towards peace, justice, and a clean world. Coastal arrogance will not win the middle of the country. Despair is pervasive. The electorate is beaten up by the constant chaos and manipulation raining in from all sides. Bernie is a Trump win.
I do think the one point there that I would definitely agree with is I would sure love to see us change the way that the money is spent, because money has such an impact on the election here in terms of advertising and terms of things. But also it is billions of dollars that are poured into this that could be, you know, again, in many countries there are limits on those numbers. There are things like that so that money can be spent on other things.
So how would you do it?
You know, you can do public campaign financing. You could do limits. So, you know, again, you have to get rid of Citizens United before you can start.
Oh, yeah, you have to get rid of the Supreme Court. You have to get rid of Citizens United. Easy said.
I didn't say it was easy to do. Yes, this is a key problem.
Let's get rid of the Electoral College. We get all these letters. Yes, really? Oh, really?
Snap your fingers, Alan. Make that so.
Okay.
Well, I wish we could.
And Chris says, stutter. Let's all remember that Joe is fighting stuttering since childhood. When he closes his eyes, he is concentrating. And Johannes says, Bloomberg misogyny. Bloomberg is a pig dressed in the best lipstick money can buy. His sexist behavior is not getting an appropriate amount of news coverage.
You know, there are a lot of women who think the attacks on Bloomberg are not exactly, it's not Harvey Weinstein. This was a man who, he's a 78-year-old man who, a lot of power, and he lived through a time when this was acceptable. It's Bob Packwood, again, somebody who did nothing different in Congress and a lot of other people, but the standard changed on him, and so he was caught. And many women are overlooking, feminists are overlooking this because of the fact that he is a man who lived at his time, and he could have made that point last
but
night,
am
and
I,
he didn't.
Am I right that they're also comparing him to Trump?
Yeah, they are.
Comparing the situation.
And you heard it with Chris Churchill yesterday. Said, oh, there's 63 women. And it was actually complaints against his workplace. I hope his lawyers are going through all that. He needs to release the DNAs, needs NDRs. He needs to talk about
non-disclosure agreements.
He needs to be talking about exactly what the complaints were. I think a lot of them may have been, or at least I'm willing to accept that the complaints were against him because he was the head guy, not because he was personally harassing women. But I don't really know.
Right. We really can't have a good conversation about this because we don't know all the information.
Exactly.
You know, just circling back to the Sanders issue of his health records, I just, you know, one thing that struck me, I meant to say this as Jim was making his point, but, you know, it took him 3 or 4 days to make the original announcement that he had a heart attack. I mean, I thought that was odd. And so then you have the letters of saying that he's in generally good health. But we don't have a medical report. Which...
Yeah, and just follow me on my rallies for three, you know, on the 3 or 4 rallies a day.
It's like this is stock response. Which
I
is
like
not...
that impression.
And his wife says that too. He's an athlete. He's always been in great health, and he's got the most rigorous schedule.
Well, he obviously has energy. I mean, he looks great. Yeah.
Wait. Who are we talking about?
Sanders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm fascinated by Sanders because here's this old guy. He's younger than I am, but he's old. And the question is, the kids are all for him. So here's the old guy, and
yeah,
the
they're
kids,
not,
kids are for him.
They're
well,
not
because
going
he's consistent.
For...
They are a lot of I hear a lot of my students say, you know, we're tired of people that are wishy-washy, that are misleading, that are obfuscating, and they find him refreshing in the sense that he's not misleading them. They believe what he says he means. He has a vision that he actually sticks with, and that is appealing to them because they find that refreshing.
That's not to mention, forgive college loans and legalize pot.
Well, that may also play a role, clearly.
And not to mention the fact that they haven't acquired huge amounts of resources themselves for the most part yet.
Few billionaires among the student population.
Will, and then they may have a different attitude.
They're not paying a lot of taxes yet.
Mm-hmm. As I'm saying this, I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but Bernie Sanders is 2 months older than you. Or you're 2 months older than him.
7/25/41.
Yeah, so he's 9/8/41.
Oh,
wow!
I thought he was a young whippersnapper.
Yeah. So
yeah. Anyway, let's go to Greg. Delegates, panel, Bernie supporters are trying to conflate the delegate selection process with the general election. His gang knows the rules and the minimum number of delegates required for a first ballot nomination. He or any candidate should not get special treatment. Greg from Averill Park. You know, I remember back in the days, talk about my age, when Eisenhower was the president. What? Eisenhower was once the president? Yeah, Eisenhower was the president, and he had heart attacks. And then he had another heart attack. That's the way he was. Wasn't major.
The difference, however, was that we didn't have social media and information floating all over the place. Technology has changed. So we are in a new world out there.
We have Woodrow Wilson, who had a major stroke and was completely incapable, and we didn't know. Oh, yes. We had a president who had advanced horrible polio, and we didn't know about it. We've had it in the past.
Health.
Yeah, Nixon. And Kennedy had terrible back and other diseases.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a tradition of hiding presidential problems. This is not a good tradition.
No. Do you think I thought so?
No, I just want to make it clear. People just say, oh, well, what about? Okay. No, that's all of the past is reason that it should be different now. Remember Jimmy Carter's hemorrhoids? Front page news. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
All hemorrhoids should be front page.
All presidential health issues are news.
Remember when he fought with the rabbit?
Right.
Okay.
And who was it? Carter? No, who was it who fell off? No, George W. fell off the couch reaching for a pretzel.
No, he was choking on a pretzel.
Choking,
he?
Yeah, something like that.
A simple
all
time.
Of this news.
A simple time.
A simpler time.
Okay, says George. Good morning, panel. I think there was so much focus on attacking Bloomberg that it came across as fear more than strength. Wealth itself was being demonized rather than the way it was obtained and used. Bernie seems to draw a line that divides wealth from obscene wealth conveniently on the other side of his own wealth. Disappointing from George.
Well, I mean, I just have to say, everybody was so focused on making Bloomberg look like a hypocrite that actually they forgot that Biden might re-enter the lane, and he did, I think. We're going to see a little bit of
a resurgence
of Biden, I think.
Does anybody think that there is a possibility that by beating up on a candidate, you cause a little bit of a sympathy backlash?
No, I don't think so with Bloomberg, no. No.
I mean, I think it certainly could happen, right? But I don't know that...
Kamala Harris folded under Gabbard when Gabbard went after... Tulsi Gabbard went after her, and you're right, Bloomberg was totally unsympathetic last night. Mm-hmm. Buttigieg looked bad when he was under attack. Bernie gets more irascible, but his fans love it.
You know, I feel bad whenever anybody gets attacked. Maybe it's just me.
Oh, you're sweet. That's very nice. That's very nice.
Sorry.
Rosemary and I were talking during one of the breaks, but, you know, as you were watching the meltdown, I mean, part of me was like, oh. And then the other part of me was like, oh, man, this is
great.
Good television.
Yeah, this is great.
it's fun to watch.
It's not really a debate, right? It's entertainment. It was set up as entertainment where we were all ready to watch somebody getting clobbered. And we're thinking, wow,
I want to read one more letter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is from Kevin. Capitalism is falling down. Young folks just out of high school and college can't fathom how they can possibly work hard enough to justify billions of income while their parents, who work plenty hard, by the way, are having a tougher and tougher time keeping up. I keep hearing panelists on WAMC and on the TV talk about how they don't think vilifying greedy people like Trump or Bloomberg will play in the election, and I just don't know why you can't see it. Are you really that comfortable? Don't you have...
I don't understand the letter.
Don't you have great-grandchildren to talk to? I don't understand it either.
All right. We're going to take a break.
Great-grandchildren? My goodness. How old do you think
we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Jim Hendler, Vera Acarius-Kelly, and Rosemary Armeo. We do welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC is... WAMC.org is the address, panel@WAMC.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's move on to some other things while we have a moment. Again, we are waiting for the sentencing in U.S. District Court of Roger Stone, which is expected at any moment. So we will talk about that in the when we find out something, assuming it happens within the next half hour.
How'd you like to be the judge today?
Yeah. That'd be rough. Judy points out, Donald Trump has already tweeted on this, as sort of tweeting as the sentencing is coming down.
12 minutes ago, he tweeted.
What did he say?
They say Roger Stone lied to Congress. Oh, I see. But so did Comey. And he also leaked classified information for which almost everyone other than crooked Hillary Clinton goes to jail for a long time. And so did Andy McCabe, who also lied to the FBI. Fairness?
So it's good thing Trump never lied to Senate or did any of those other things.
McCabe has – he sicked all of his Justice Department cronies on McCabe, and they still couldn't get him, and he's still going. But why am I surprised he's still saying the Central Park
Five.
Excuse me. I forgot the number. Central Park Five was guilty years after they've been exonerated by DNA evidence.
And we're worried about all the Democratic candidates and their problems in the past. And then they have to go up against this guy.
Yeah. Really. So meanwhile, Donald Trump is taking up the call for Barr to clean house at the Justice Department. With a series of retweets, President Trump kept up attacks on federal law enforcement agencies despite pleas from the Attorney General. Ignoring appeals from his Attorney General to stop tweeting about the Justice Department, President Trump renewed his attacks on the agency yesterday, demanding justice, all capitalized justice, for himself and all future presidents. This can never happen to a president or our country again, wrote Donald Trump.
Boy, would I like to see 60 Democratic senators and have him say that again, but I'm not holding my breath.
The president promoted the idea of naming a special counsel to investigate what Tom Fitton, the head of the conservative nonprofit Judicial Watch, described as a seditious conspiracy at the department and the FBI. These are the people that the president put in charge, right?
Right.
Just fact check.
There are former Fox commentators who are now saying the president's promise to drain the swamp is being replaced by him bringing the swamp into the White House and making the swamp deeper. I mean, it's hard not to look at what's going on. And, you know, he's an authoritarian. He's playing to the authoritarian base. He's taking his news all from Fox News. I mean, it must be nice to own a news channel that controls the president.
I mean, we have a full-on propaganda machine in this country now. It is really quite disturbing in terms of the inability to push back because they have so much control over media outlets. And they've worked on this for a couple of decades, actually, to build up this powerful voice.
And meanwhile, we continue to hear these murmurings from Barr and reports that he may be leaving and then isn't and then could be. And I don't know what if that's just a lot of the propaganda, too.
How unusual for this presidency.
Right.
And so when the heat gets big enough on him, on Barr, the president fires him. And so what? There's always another one.
Well, right. But absolutely, I agree with you. But what could be more, like, what's more heat than what we have now?
Oh, you know, I thought it couldn't get any hotter.
Yeah,
but I think it could.
Yeah,
we'll
see what happens. I mean, that's to Bob Griffin's point yesterday of, you know, what else is going on that we don't
know. The reality is that we have no idea in the United States what heat really means. If you live in other countries where you have a full-on propaganda machine and you have people being arrested and detained and interrogated for their political positioning, human rights advocates and so on. Mm-hmm. We in this country have no idea how that could change. And
good
we have
point.
To pay
really
very close
point.
Attention to where we're going
we're
here.
We're beginning to learn.
Yes.
All right. We have more letters. Alan, go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
There's a stack of them.
Boy. This is the most we've ever had.
Today. Yeah, it's...
Okay, Jim from Great
it's
Barrington
It's like democracy
says,
was on the...
I was buoyed by Warren's feisty and deliberate talking everybody on the stage to the mat. It was heartening because she is a worthy candidate, but had not been coming out with enough strength to go after Trump. Last night I saw the nominee. I would like to have faced Trump because she's decent, she's smart, she's prepared, and she showed up last night, and she's not going to back down from a bully. And that's Jim in Great Barrington. And Jim in somewhere else, Kingston, says, rounding Sanders' 152,000 votes in the 2016 New Hampshire primary. In the 2020 primary, he received 76,000 votes. What happened to 50% of his 2016 supporters? Tetherless, what do you got?
They're divided among four other. He was running against one other person, and it was a person who wasn't popular in the state, and now he was running against a chunk of other people, and they were splitting the vote.
I think Mr. and Mrs. Tetherless would be very proud of you for that answer. It's right on the money. Brian says, Joe Biden, why is Joe Biden always shouting? Is he that frustrated? Well, you know, that's a very interesting point.
Joe Biden shouts? Well, Bernie shouts.
But he did look and sound a little angry at times.
Well, they told him to do that. They told him to do that, right? Well,
I think he was more spirited than normal. But I wouldn't. I don't know. I didn't take it as shouting, other than just trying to be heard over everybody.
Well, maybe. I mean, this is why it's such a show and performance. These debates aren't really conversations about issues and policies. It's about who can get a punchline in. Who looks, you know, a little more aggressive or has a funny little quick comment.
Zinger.
So this is just not really a debate, yes, as I always keep saying and reminding everybody, it's just a performance art that we see here.
And Nathan says, primary season, why do we in the United States have such a long primary season? Three question marks. 6 weeks would be sufficient, in my opinion. Nathan in Manchester, Vermont.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
a big business, that's why.
Yeah.
Something happening? No.
I think so, but I'm not.
Grace
sentencing recommendation should be higher due to witness threats. Okay, go ahead.
So they're just, we're waiting to hear
on the Roger Stone case,
if we hear in the next few
minutes. Yeah, apparently the judge is talking, leading up to what she's actually going to say, according to Twitter.
Eric says, medical records. Why are we obsessed with medical records? These old men have old man health problems, as many of us do. Indeed. Trump refuses to release his medical records, his tax returns, or his various business entanglements. And how has that hurt him? Does anybody remember Dr. Ronny Jackson? Remember he was the...
Well, we do remember it. And this is eerily similar, which is part of the problem, isn't
it? Correct.
We don't want our president to have early stages Alzheimer's, for example.
Yeah.
Always a good thing.
Or as Arlo once sang about Ronald Reagan, I like it when he sleeps.
That's really great.
So Eric says, if any of these old men had the lousy health care that many Americans do, they'd be dead right now. On to the real issues, please. Respectfully, Eric from Greenwich. Eric in Greenwich?
I don't know.
You know
him? I know a few Erics, but I don't know this Eric.
Eric, the health of the president is a real issue. I just have to beg to differ. It's fundamental.
And Johnny says of Bernie, Warren had the best performance last night, but Bernie had the best line. Paraphrasing a little, he said, quote, we already live in a socialist nation. The question is whether or not you want it to benefit the super rich or the working class, unquote. P.S. I love Rosemary, but her disdain for Bernie is unwarranted and nauseating. Please try to be objective. He is more than likely going to be the Democratic nominee.
I'm a pundit. I'm not objective, okay? And I don't like Bernie. I will keep saying that. I will vote for him if he's the nominee. That's the best I can do for you.
Pretty good. And then Howard says...
We got both hands on that one. I like that. That was good.
There was a lot of gesticulation, people.
Please be objective. You would hate it if we were all objective. Believe me.
Listen to the battle because we're not objective.
Quite a boring show.
And is there such a thing as objectivity?
Good point.
There is?
I said, is there?
Is there?
No.
No. And
lies.
And Howard from Highland, H from H. I think this needs further discussion. Bernie's failure to own the inflammatory tactics of his online supporters shows a real blind spot about his campaign, a point that Mayor Pete drove home. Sanders has stocked to the highest levels of his campaign with people who tend to be political bomb throwers. You cannot win a general election by driving your allies away. Howard in Highland.
So on that note, I have various types of
political people on my social media, and I saw a message earlier that said, Warren did a national service last night. Stop with the snake emoji, bros.
Aha.
Isn't that interesting?
That is
so
good.
That was a message out to.
I'm so old, I have no idea what the hell you're talking
well,
about.
Well, okay. But you know.
Maybe I should explain that.
But, you know, we haven't talked about it, but, you know, Buttigieg called Bernie Sanders out on this of his followers and what responsibility as a candidate he has for
yes,
the followers.
Yes, that's important.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders said that out of the 99% of his people on Twitter are great. 99.9%, I believe. And he can't obviously be responsible for the other 0.1%. And Buttigieg was trying to make the point that yes, but they are being fired up by something. And the common denominator in that is you. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a really interesting point. I don't know what the answer to it is if you're Bernie Sanders, but it does seem, and I know Trump obviously went through this too, of people saying about his supporters of getting them in line. And obviously,
and
those
willing,
rallies have
yeah.
only, we're only to wind them up more.
Sure. Aren't the Democrats only going to be too happy to have the Bernie bros on their side in a general election against Trump?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
indeed.
So anyway, the next letter, let's see who's at bat. This letter is from Casey. Winners.
Nice. Like it.
I got it.
I like it.
We got it.
Bloomberg, an effective mayor, throwing around money to get his way. Warren looked good because standards have been lowered, making Trump look better and better.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and Mighty Casey has struck out with that last line.
And Larry says, Bernie, authenticity is Bernie's strong suit. He has inculcated himself from the Trump socialist label. Something no other Democrat has done. Now he needs to lead by reminding us that his proposals are a continuation of FDR's work. That's from Larry.
Well, I think authenticity has been highly overrated. I would settle for a poised and practiced, polite and competent president.
And do you see anybody on that panel?
As much as I'd like that, I can't see that person beating Donald Trump.
No. Okay. No. Do you see anybody on that panel last night who fits your description?
Yeah, I think Warren, Klobuchar, Biden, okay. Buttigieg.
Cindy, Rosemary.
Rosemary, probably more, but...
Rosemary is the biggest Bernie hater.
I'm a Trump hater.
If she would have opened her eyes in 2016, she would have discovered Bernie beat Hillary if they didn't cheat with superdelegates. And Trump would.
So can I put a stop to that one? That
Thank
is
you.
The stupidest thing I've ever. Hillary got more votes in the primaries. She got more delegates, not superdelegates. And then you got the superdelegates.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. This is a Bernie talking
she
point.
She won.
And it isn't Bernie I hate. Let me be clear. It's his followers. I do not like them. They make me want to look for faults in the candidate.
Okay, so we're gonna keep going here. We're gonna take a break, and because we're waiting for the Roger Stone sentencing, which hopefully will happen in the next moment or so.
I wish he'd cooperate and do it fast.
Me too. Step it up. You've been going for 48 minutes. For goodness' sake,
she's got a lot to say.
She's got a lot to say. That is correct.
So we'll hopefully get back to that. We're gonna go take a break. We'll come back and we'll finish up. Alan's got more letters, and we'll continue right after this. Good morning. Welcome, Alec. Try it again. Welcome back to the roundtable. My tongue needs some retyping. We're going to go to letters, and then we are, again, we're still waiting for the results, find out what the judge has to say in the Roger Stone sentencing, which may or may not happen prior to the end of the segment, but we'll hope for the best. Alan, go ahead.
Okay. Sam says, OMG Bloomberg. Hi, panel. Finally, the American public got an unfiltered look at Bloomberg last night with his red-baiting sexism, racism, and condescending tone fully on display. At one point, Bloomberg tried to call Bernie a communist for wanting workers on corporate boards. But in fact, a 2018 Vox poll found that 53% of Americans supported this policy, while 22% opposed. Classic red-baiting by Bloomberg. Because he couldn't argue against the merits of workers on corporate boards. We don't need to replace one arrogant Republican billionaire for another one. And that's Sam from Beacon.
I agree. I mean, this whole idea that self-absorbed, very wealthy men decide that they know best. I really am tired of that notion.
Okay. And we heard from Pam in Delmar. Hi, panel. I think the most important point made last night was Pete Buttigieg's passionate reminder that human life on this planet is a peril if we wait 4 more years to begin serious response to climate change.
Yes.
It is perhaps the most terrifying aspect of a second Trump term. Warren did an amazing job last night. I hope it brings her the attention she deserves. Pan and Delmar.
Yes, good point.
Rick says, Bernie in office. This was quite invigorating last night. I'm happy to see the gloves are off. If the Democrats are going to defeat Trump, they've got to get down and dirty and aggressive. I personally support Warren, but I wonder what the progressives will do if Bernie wins but does not take the Senate. He will not be able to accomplish the goals he has been preaching. Will progressives turn on him like they did on Obama? And Rick from West Hurley, our friend Rick. Mm-hmm. Emily says, Sanders supporters. Rosemary, I don't have student loans or use marijuana, and I support Bernie. Please do not categorize and simplify his supporters as that. Emily from Glens Falls or Glen Falls.
Think you to do that.
I was talking about students, which is
but I don't know what
Emily
they really
is.
Like about Sanders that he's consistent and not they perceive him as not to be hypocritic.
Hypocritical.
There we go. I was thinking of medical hypocritical. I don't know, you take the oath,
right?
They took the oath. No, I mean, what I meant was that they're not. They perceive him as honest and authentic. That is correct.
Alan.
And we heard from Witt, who says age. I'm a baby boomer. One of the things to think about with respect to all the older candidates is who they will surround themselves with as president. When you are 80 plus, you will need level-headed, true to democratic rule people, not oligarchs. Apolitical or bipartisan people, leaders, not toadies, etc. These are the folks who will run the country as your abilities and brain power fade. Also, it's possible that all but one senior will not be able to hold a second term. That's from Witt. You know, that's an interesting point about if you elect an 80-year-old to the presidency, what happens? And
the Chinese have done it for decades. 80-year-olds run countries. In Africa, you have dictators who have held on into their 90s. It's not that you can't do it. It's just that why aren't we looking for young, progressive, youthful ideas?
Yeah. And Walter says, democracy at stake? If Bernie Sanders or any candidate can take 7 million more votes and still, quote, lose the election, democracy is no longer at stake. It's gone. Unless the American electorate takes a more active part by protesting and voting en masse, and that doesn't seem to be happening, we are going to be living in a fascist police state. Minority rule has been the Republican goal since Nixon and has been in place since W was, quote, elected. Ben Franklin said, a republic, if you can keep it. Mussolini said, a better name for fascism would be corporate statism. Sincerely, Walter. And that's what I got.
We welcome your letters. We're just about out of time. I want to take the last 5 minutes while we're still waiting for the sentencing of Roger Stone. excuse me. Obviously, a big story was the shooting in Germany, the deadliest yet attack in upsurge of far-right attacks. 9 people died in 2 bars favored by immigrants in an attack that Angela Merkel said had, quote, right-wing extremist racist motives. The suspect and his mother were also found shot dead. I know, Vera, you are obviously close to the story, both geographically and mm-hmm. personally. So mm-hmm. What do you make of this?
So I talked with family members this morning. My younger brother actually lives in Darmstadt, which is just about, 30 minutes away from where this took place. Everybody is pretty much horrified and says this is the moment when intelligence investigations need to shift to domestic terrorism. We know that since the 1990s, we have far more violent crimes committed by right-wing extremists in Germany than
ever were committed by Islamists. So some of the statistics, just like here. When you look at the statistics, they're talking about over 10,000 violent crimes and 85 murders carried out by extremists, whereas the number given by the intelligence services was 17 murders by Islamists. So in Germany, what you have is a serious problem with right-wing neo-Nazis rising, now getting their hands on weaponry and carrying out assassinations. I mean, we know this has been coming and growing, increasingly so. In the late fall, we had a targeted assassination in the area of Leipzig against a synagogue targeting the Jewish community. This time the target has been an immigrant community, a shisha bar, and a cafe.
So how much does the Nazi past play into this?
Well, public conversation today is all about responsibilities of German society to now ferociously critique what is happening and stand in solidarity with Jewish communities and with immigrants. It is something that is very seriously discussed today. We will see public marches, peace marches, marches in support of immigrants. I think this is one of those moments when German society will mobilize to reject a return of Nazi organizations or individuals that are mobilized through online access to right-wing hateful propaganda.
What does the government do?
Well, I think today they're in consultation with intelligence services to figure out what domestic policies they need to tighten up and how to address this problem in the country, to make it obvious, to discuss it publicly, to speak to the issue that we can't just simply say this was in the past. And so I think we will see news releases, information from Chancellor Angela Merkel addressing these kinds of fundamental issues. Germany cannot go backwards. Germany must stand tall and strong for the rights of immigrants and all members of society.
So very quickly, Merkel led a whole bunch of people into the country, I think, admirably. It was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, there's a price being paid for that.
Yes. Yes, this is the kind of thing that you see when you allow the conservative parties to try and co-opt right-wing voters, because we know we've seen a rise of right-wing support for more extremist parties, and even Angela's, Merkel's CSU coalition partner has been trying to attract the right-wing vote and has moved towards the right. Now, that is under discussion today. What is happening with the traditional parties and the traditional values, and they have all swung more to the right? That will be part of Germany's reckoning.
Well, thank you very much for speaking on that. My thanks to everybody this morning. Unfortunately, we didn't get the Stone sentencing in time. However, we will bring the news to you when we find out during our newscast. And, of course, we'll have more on it during Midday Magazine with Jim Lavoulis coming up. My thanks to Rosemary Armeo, Vera Carias-Kelly, Jim Hendler, Judy Patrick, of course, Alan Chartok. Thank you all very much.
Thank
that
you,
was
Joe.
A great conversation. And we will be back with more show right after this.